But eventually, the marina development was built, and again, there were various iterations of the plan, but it eventually was built and was operational, and this limited partnership was integrally involved in that. And the rift resulted in the limited partners removing Briarwood Capital as general partner and amending the limited partnership agreement in an attempt to avoid dissolution that was triggered by the fact that the limited partnership didn't have a general partner after it had been removed and needed to have a replacement general partner. But under the pre-existing partnership agreement, that was something that was going to take Walker's consent. And so, again, there was this removal of the general partner and an attempted amendment of the partnership agreement and replacement of the general partner. Well, that triggered a declaratory judgment action by Walker, who challenged not the validity of the removal, which seemed to comply with the vote required. The limited partners, a majority in interest of the limited partners, had the votes to remove the general partner, but they did not have the votes to vote to continue the partnership that was dissolved by the removal of the partner and appoint a replacement general partner. So again, there was this amendment that we'll talk about that they attempted to ratify after the amendment to change the vote required to continue the partnership and replace the general partner. So there was this declaratory judgment action filed by Walker challenging the validity of that, and in return, the limited partners alleged claims for breach of fiduciary duty against Walker and his entity, Briarwood Capital. So there's a great deal of discussion in the case of the breach of fiduciary duty claims by the limited partners against Walker and Briarwood, as well as analysis of the application of the provisions of the partnership agreement that dealt with removal, dissolution, continuation, replacement of the general partner, and you know, so that is the subject of analysis. And then there was also an issue as to the application of the attorney's fees provision in the partnership agreement, you know, that as is common in the boilerplate of a lot of agreements, including partnership agreements, company agreements. There was a provision that said that the prevailing party in this case, I went back to look at the exact language, the prevailing partner in litigation was entitled to recover attorney's fees. And so we'll touch briefly on these issues. Again, it's a very lengthy opinion, but again, I think these are all issues that you know, this is a context you can easily envision and issues that you've probably encountered in some form or fashion in your practice. So there was a lengthy jury charge with many jury questions, something like 26 jury questions resulting from this litigation. And again, some of the questions, some of the issues were not even jury questions, fact questions, right, were questions for the court to determine. But the breach of fiduciary duty claims were structured such that there were claims against both Briarwood Capital as the general partner. There was a duty of loyalty breach or breaches alleged against the general partner. And if you look at the dissent, you can actually see fully set out the jury question on the general partner's breach of duty of loyalty, which tracked the partnership statute. So it's interesting because, of course, we do have a sort of a codification, a description now in Chapter 152, the general partnership statute that links to the limited partnership statute. So Briarwood Capital's breach of the duty of loyalty was articulated in language tracking the partnership statute, but Walker's breach of the claim for breach of fiduciary duty against Walker, the individual owner controlling party of Briarwood Capital, was phrased in terms, it contains kind of the kitchen sink. I think it's a version from Texas pattern jury charges that kind of collects a lot of the lofty language from the case law that addresses the common law fiduciary duty of loyalty. And so there was a finding that Walker individually was in a relationship of trust and confidence with his cousins. They had entrusted him, you know, because of their relationship and trust in him. And so again, there were breaches of fiduciary duty allegations both against Walker and Briarwood Capital, and those were organized into sort of three transactions. There were various tracts of land that were at issue and were acquired in the course of this marina development, and Walker and or an entity of Walker's had acquired several tracts of land in connection with this development, and the limited partners were basically complaining that, you know, he had usurped the opportunity for these properties, had improperly taken this opportunity or acquired this property when it, you know, should have been acquired by or made available to the partnership. And all of this was hotly contested, and there was lots of evidence and testimony. And on appeal, what the jury found was that there was no breach, the burden was placed, you know, this burden shifting that occurs in some fiduciary duty cases. The burden under the jury issues was really on Walker and the general partner to prove that they complied with their duty, okay? And so there were three transactions involving tracts of property about which the jury was questioned. And on two of them, the jury found that